Today's Shir is Masecht Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach at the Tav Tez Zayin on the base, six lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan K'shnitver Rebbe Elazar Laminas. When the Apikarsim tried to force Rebbe Elazar to participate with them in their worshipping Avodah Zarah, Haleu Lagardim, the first thing they wanted to do is to get him to renounce his learning of Torah. And they brought him up to a place where they hung people, Lidoin, to judge people for, and that's where they were going to judge him for learning Torah. So Rashi says, they wanted to force him, as we just explained, to renounce the Jewish religion. The Rebbeinu Chananel explains that what they wanted him to do was say that he believes that there are two gods. So the person who was the judge, a person like you, Yasik Bidvaram Batalim Halalu, his attitude, of course, to Torah was such a negative attitude. And he said to him, how could somebody as distinguished as you learn Torah? So his reaction was, you know, I trust the judge. Kesavar, says the Gemara, this judge who heard him make this statement thought, Kesavar, Isaac, Mishallah, Voimer. Rebbe Elazar was referring to him and that he was saying that I actually agree with him. But of course, says the Gemara, that wasn't Rebbe Elazar's attention. Hulay Amar, what he meant to say, Kenegad Avishu Shemayim, he was saying that I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that whatever he wants or whatever he says is what I want. Amalai, Hoyal Vamantam Alecha, he says, since you now have agreed with what my approach is, Dimum, which is a Lashon Shvua, Pater Ata, I will relinquish your punishment. And the Chafetz Chaim says that this is an incredible Gemara, but it's an important lesson. He says that we all know that the way a person who is in a difficult situation could hopefully get out of that difficult situation is by accepting upon himself din shamayim, by accepting by himself that ein odon, ein oid mavadoi. A kol mekabel of malchus shamayim, somebody who accepts upon himself that to accept whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and does to us, they take off from him all derech eretz. And Rebbe Elazar's attitude, since as we just finished explaining, what he really meant wasn't to accept what this person was saying about him, but actually to accept the din shemayim. The moment he accepted the din shemayim, what happened was pata ata, he was absolved. Shabbala basic. And when Rebbe Elazar comes home, nichnusu talmidav Nachmai, his Talmidim came to console him for this terrible experience that he just had. V'lekibalov techumim, he wasn't happy. He wasn't ready to accept consolation. There's a number of pshatim. One pshat is that he was very unhappy about this entire occurrence. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that although, as we explained, what he really meant to say was that he was accepting the din shemayim, but it's well understood that his words could easily be interpreted differently. And because of that, he felt bad that he was put into such a position. Amar Rabbi Kiva says to him, Rabbi Tasheni Loim Lefanecha Dova Achad Mimashla Maratani, please give me permission to say something that I actually learned from you. Amar Lois Rabbi Lezer says, Amar, go ahead. Amalei, so Rabbi Kiva says to him, Rabbi Shemin Minis Bam Liyotcha, maybe you were once encountered with a situation of Apikarsis, Vanoacha, and you had some sort of pleasure, benefit from it, the love and the Tfasta, and that's what brought you into this situation. Amalei, Akiva, so Rabbi Leza says to Rabbi Kiva, at that point, his Gatani, you actually remind me, the Pamachas, Hayisi, mahalak b'shuk al yonish tzipari. I was walking in the marketplace of tzipari. Mitzasi echad, I found an apikiris v'Yaakov ish sachanya shmoi. His name was Yaakov ish kfar sachanya amali, and he says to me, k'sibet haraskam. It says in the Torah Kedosh le'sovi esnan zoyman beis Hashem al kecha. Something that a zoyner received as payment may not be brought to the Beis HaMikdash in any form. Ma'al asas himenu, but the question that he asked, can you make something that was received by a zoyner to a Beis HaKisei l'Kohen Gadol for a bathroom for the Kohen Gadol in the Lishkas of Pardim? As we know, the Gemara Masechta Yuma says that the Kohen Gadol had a special chamber, and that's where he prepared for Yom Kippur. Can that money be used for that purpose? Vamali, and Yaakov Ishkvah Sina said to me, Kach Limdani, the Pasuk Emicha says, Kim Esten Zayna Kipzah Vat Esten Zayna Yeshuva. The Navi compares all the gifts that Klal Yisrael gave to Avodah Zarah to an Esnon. And what he was saying was that all the money that was collected from what Klal Yisrael gave to the Avodah Zarah, they're going to take and give to the Avodah Zarah. And we learn from him in Makkah Tanifas Bo, they were collected from such a disgusting place, L'makkah Tanifas Yelechu, and that's where they should go to be used for a bathroom. Hanani Adover, and I enjoyed what this person said, and I connected to this individual. And once I connected to this individual, idei netfasti laminus. We have to be so careful to distance ourselves from them, because avarti mashukos b'tayra, because I violated what the pasuk says in Mishlei, harchik maleha darkecha, stay far away from anything which is minus, which is apikorsis. V'altigra v'pesach beisaz rishus, stay away from the government that may or from anybody that could attempt to take away our money. And as I sort of Sefer Yaakov explains, that the Gemara says, the Rebbe Elazar says, Hanani Adover, I had benefit. So when we think about the benefit that he had, it wasn't a tangible benefit. It was a benefit that he had in his mind. And therefore, since it was a benefit that he had in his mind, that's what caused him to get punished in Nitzvah Salav Minas. Vika Damri, Hachem Alecha Darkecha Zem Minas V'Rishos, V'atikra V'teka Beis Zuzayna, stay away from anything immoral. Ask the Gemara V'kama, how much should somebody stay away from anything immoral? Says the Gemara, Amar Av Chizda Arba Amis. The reason the Mepharshim say Arba Amis, because the Pasuk says, V'atikrav al Pesach Beisa. And as we learned in Masechet Bava Basra, the amount of area designated to a Pesach, the amount of area designated to any entrance is 4 Amos. So we see the Pasuk is saying Pesach Beisa, it presumably means Dalet Amos. That's one Pshat that I saw. The other Pshat that I saw is also based on many Gemaras that say that everybody's personal area is Dalet Amos. Ask the Gemara, Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan who learned the Pasuk different, explain, Hai Mes Nazoyna Mai Dar Shabai, they didn't explain it the way this Min, this Abikaris explained it. Says the Gemara, what do they explain this Pasuk? Rav Chizda. They explained it the way Rav Chizda explained it to us. Dharma Chizda, Kol Zoyna Sheniskeres, that any Zoyna that's hired to do what she does, Lepsoif, he Seicheres. What happens is that she becomes so despicable that people don't want to have anything to do with her. You started off in such a way, and you end up being just the opposite. You end up in a place where they don't want to have anything, where they don't want to have anything to do with you. Upligid Rabbados says the Gemara that what the pasuk is saying, that Rav Chizda says we have to stay away from the entrance of a Beis Zoyna by Dalet Amos, is in disagreement with Rabbi Dos said, when the Torah speaks about not getting close in an immoral fashion, it means only touching a person that we're not allowed to touch. Shenama ish ish el kol shel saroi le'sikrevu legar l'serva, says the Gemara. However, Ula, says the Gemara, Ula keva basu be'rav, Ula, when he would leave the Beis Medrash, ha menashek l'hula achsai be'yadayu, he would kiss them on their hands, v'amalei be'chadayu, he would kiss them on the breast. The Mefarshim point out that this should not be taken literally, but rather the way it should be understood is that they would be kissed on the clothing that they were wearing, because, as the Mefarshim explained, the minig was that when people would leave shul, they would kiss their parents and their loved ones. But says the Gemara, "Upligi the day of the day." Actually, that this is not consistent with what Ula has been teaching us. But says the Gemara, because Ula, amul kreva ba'alma asura, any type of contact with somebody who's asur to us is asur. Mishum leich leich amir in the zayra, just like we tell to a nazir who he knows not to drink wine or have any grape products. Lecha schar schar, go in a roundabout manner. Lekamacha, lekamla sikra, don't get close to a vineyard. So too that we should stay away from anything that could cause us to do something which is inappropriate. So of course the Mefarshim asks, how do we reconcile this Gemara? On one hand, the Gemara is saying that he was so careful to stay away. And on the other hand, the Gemara says that he kissed them. So the Mefarshim explained that actually, it's something that most people should avoid. What's being discussed here is Ula. Ula, if the person who is coming in contact with his relative is on the Madrega, that when he comes in contact with a relative, as far as he's concerned, I'm just going to use the words that the Gemara uses, that the Mefarshim use, that he looks at them as a beam, then the halacha is that one could come into contact. But if that's not your attitude, then you have to stay away. So the Gemara just taught about a very interesting halacha, a very interesting minig that some communities have and some communities specifically don't have. And some communities, the minig is that when somebody comes to shul or somebody gets a aliyah, they would kiss the hand of their father or the rabbi, etc. But the Mefarshim say that there is one situation, where it wasn't done that way. And that when one should certainly not do it, no matter what community you come from. And that is in a situation where there are people who don't have children in the community. And if somebody's children show this type of relationship to their relatives, to their parents, and there are other people who are sitting there who unfortunately don't have children, that obviously could cause such a significant pain, and we're never allowed to cause pain. As it is, certainly the minig in Ashkenazi communities is that nobody kisses anyone in a shul, and the reason for that minig is because when you kiss someone in a shul, then you're sort of showing that your love of others is not, your love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not unique and special. There are other people you love. And when you're standing and sitting in a shul in Beis Medrash, you're supposed to demonstrate that you're only devoted to Hashem. Around the same discussion that we had now, there was a question where there was a woman who had children, Baruch Hashem, but she lost her husband and she moved into her parents. And her children that she had were married. At the parents' house was not just this mother, but there was also a sister who never got married. So living in the parents' home was this daughter who was an almana, who Baruch Hashem had children, not just children, married children, and the other one who never had children. And the Sefer Chashuki Chemer has an interesting question. The children want to invite their mother to their house for Shabbos. But obviously, if they're going to invite their mother to their home for Shabbos, the sister is going to be very hurt. May they or may they not. And he says, quotes Rav Nissim Karelis, that not only should they not invite this, even though they have an obligation of kibud aim to their mother, as much as they have an obligation of kibud aim to their mother has to be concerned about her sister's feelings. They also have to be concerned about their aunt's feelings, and also how will that affect the grandparents. And therefore, maybe the best is just not to invite anybody. Also, we speak about kissing in shul. The question which comes up is sometimes people, and it's a general question, people may have colds or other conditions, and they're anxious to kiss the Sefer Torah. We just discussed that maybe we're not allowed to kiss people in a shul, but we're certainly allowed to kiss a Sefer Torah in a shul. And the question is, if somebody kisses a Sefer Torah when he has some sort of a condition, and then the next person kisses the Sefer Torah, it could cause that situation should spread. The Chishuk Echemed quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, who quotes the Sefer Yas Avram from the Chechen of a Rebbe, that says that just like the halacha is that when one is not supposed to put a coin in his mouth, the halacha is that one's not supposed to put a coin in the mouth, the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is, because who knows where that coin was, who touched the coin. This is a similar situation. Therefore, he says the proper way to kiss the Sefer Torah in a shul is not to kiss the Sefer Torah directly with your mouth on the Sefer Torah, but it's like we kiss a mezuzah. We put our hand on the mezuzah and then we kiss our hand. It says the Gemara, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, La luka shtei bonas, have. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? A luka means, says Taisus Gehenim. What does have mean? Says the Gemara, Oma Marukva, shtei bonas shetzaakas migehenim. There are two daughters that yell out from Gehenim, Shaimris Ba'ilam Hazah Have, that this world already being invited to Gehenim. Uman Ninu, who are the people who are invited to Gehenim? Minus, that people who worship Avodah Zarah. Vereshus, that people who try to extort money from other people. Ikadamri, Amar of Chizam Akva, call me Gehenim. There's a voice emanating from Gehenim. Tzaakas Vameris Havali Shtei Bonas. Bring me two girls. Anybody who in this world tries to attract people in the wrong way, that they end up in Gehenim. And then Yaakov explains what's the difference between the two versions. According to the first version, people who are affected by Minas and Rishus immediately fall into Gehenim. According to the second version, they don't automatically fall into Gehenim. First, they suffer other types of punishment, and after they suffer other types of punishment, then do they go into Gehenim. So I saw that the Ben Ishchai explains why is Gehenim called an aluka. So he says we've discussed in our previous shurim that an aluka is an insect that sucks out the blood. He says that what is the purpose of Gehenim? If a person did not act properly in this world and he became satiated with tumah, Gehenim pulls out that tumah to purify that neshama. The pasuk says in Mishlei also, Kobe'el la yeshuva v'le sigu orches chayim. Says the Gemara, v'chim achash le shavu, that means all the people there didn't do tshuva. So of course, if they didn't do tshuva, hechen yesivu, why would they be worthy of anything? Says the Marhach Kamar. Kabbalah Yeshua. To anybody that gets connected to Avodah Zarah won't do tshuva. Even im Yeshuva, even if they end up doing tshuva, leisigu arches chayim, in this world they'll die quickly and they'll and maybe in next world they'll be able to. Maybe in the next world they'll be able to ultimately have tshuva. The Masha explains that now that we're explaining that they possibly could do tshuva. So the Gemara's question is, how do we understand when it says kol ba'al lo yeshuvin? So he says what the Gemara means to say is that even if they do tshuva, the halacha is it won't come easy. It won't come easy for them to do tshuva because it's hard to do tshuva on such a horrible aveira. Says the Gemara lememra the kol haparish b'minus ma'is. But we're saying now that somebody who got connected to avodah zarah won't be able to survive. Ask the Gemara wasn't there an episode? He of somebody, a woman that came in front of Rav Chisda of Amalei, kalas shebekalas asasa, v'naya ha'kot v'naya gadol. This woman, her smallest sin was that she had relations with her older son, and therefore, and then she got pregnant from him. And the younger, her younger son was her older son's son, and now she's coming to, and now she's coming to Rav Chisda. That Rav Chisda should try to tell her how to do tshuva. When Yada asked the obvious question, how could anybody call such an aveira kalas shebekalas? How could anybody call such an aveira an insignificant an aveira? So he says that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that this is an insignificant aveira. This child that's born that way is a person that will not, that's a mamzer. But what he does, what it means to say is that it's a kalas shebekalas, that it's a veira that comes easy. And therefore it's called, it's easy, it's unfortunately all too easy to do such a veira. Vamala Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, Tarchle b'zavtza, she prepared for a tachrichim, so she's going to die. V'loy meis, but she didn't die. Midakamer kal shebekalas asasa, mechlal the minus nam haviba. So we see that she even had minus, because if she didn't have minus, then this would not be kal shebekalas. So we see that she obviously had minus as well, and yet she didn't die. Says the Gemara, the reason she didn't die, because Ahu Deloy Hadra Bashapur, she didn't do proper tshuva. And as we said a moment ago, once somebody has the aveira of minus, it's such a difficult aveira to do tshuva from. And such a difficult aveira that a person, even if he did tshuva, he should be able to hold on to the tshuva. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him away from this world. This person didn't even do tshuva. So since they didn't even do tshuva, that's why they were not removed from this world. Ikadamri, says the Gemara, in Meveris in Mever Loi. The way to understand the pasuk is that somebody does tshuva on apikorsis and avodah zarah, he dies. Somebody does tshuva on any other avera, he doesn't die. But he, the side of Chisda, this woman that came in front of Chisda, Vamla Chisda Zeradele Tafsa Umesa, that actually she did die, says the Gemara. But so from here we're bringing a raya that somebody does the Aveira of Erva dies. They asked the Gemara, Midakama Kal Shabakal's Mikal the Minas Namihava. So that's why she died, says the Gemara. And there's no raya that from Erva alone you die. But ask the Gemara, is that true? If somebody does erva, he doesn't die. And as we said, the reason she didn't do, if she doesn't do tshuva, that she doesn't die, is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu leaves her in this world to give her an opportunity to still do tshuva. But ask the Gemara, is that true that if somebody has the avera of erva, he doesn't die? But says the Gemara, "Tanya, Amalav Rabbi Elazar ben Dodoya." They said regarding Rabbi Elazar ben Dodoya, There was not one Zayna in the world that he didn't have relations with. He heard that there's a Zayna overseas. And for her wages, she would take a whole bag full of dinarim. Not a kittis dinarim. So he took such a bag. He went over seven rivers. B'shas hergel davar, as he was about to do this horrible avera, haficha, she passed gas. And she said to Rabbi Elazar, just like if somebody passes wind, it doesn't ever go back. So to you, you will never have the ability to do tshuva. When Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya hears this terrible edict about him, he went and sat between two mountains, two valleys. And his statement was that the mountains and the valleys should daven on my behalf. And his kavana was that he should remain in this world where he could do more tshuva. Amalai, and they responded to him, saying, "Achan mevakshim alecha, instead of us davening for you, nevakish al atzmeinu, we have to be concerned that we should remain." Shnema, as the pasuk says in Yeshayah, "Ki harim yomashu v'gavoyis tana." That so again, the Mashal has explained that Elazar ben Dodaya was concerned that he should not die and he should be ready to stay in this world and do more tshuva. The Taisus explains that the Gemara says that the mountains answered him. And of course, the question that Taisus is trying to answer is, do mountains speak? So Taisus explains that what the Gemara means to say is, if mountains were able to speak, this is what they would say. Another pshat that Taisus suggests is that the Malach of the mountains in Shemayim were the one that made this comment. The Ritva explains, and the Chidah speaks about that. The Ritva explains what the Chum mean to say is that if they were able to talk, this is what they said. So the Chidah has an interesting discussion. He says that we know that there's many people say this often. There's something known as the Perek Shira. The Perek Shira is a whole compendium of people that of different parts of the world that say Shira. And the question here is, how could they say Shira? They can't speak. And the Ritva has a long discussion that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world is really here to say and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if they can't actually express themselves, their very existence says a shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Gemara means to say is that this is their purpose in this world, says the Gemara. Amar. So at this point, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya says, Shemayim v'aretz bikshulai rachmim. The heavens and the earth should daven on my behalf. Amalai, and they say the same. Amru, acha nevakshim alecha, before we daven on your behalf, nevakish al atzmeinu. We have to daven on our own behalf. Shenema, kishemayim ka'oshin nemlohu, v'aretz kebege tivla. V'omar, chama, there's another passage that says, chama v'la, then he said v'omar, chama l'vano, bikshulai rachmim. The sun and the moon should daven on my behalf. Amalai, they say to him, Al shenag anavakshim alecha, instead of us davening on your behalf, nevakash al atzmenu, we need to daven on our own behalf. Shenem v'chofar alavano, uboisha hachama. Omar, so then he says, kechovim umazolos, the stars and the constellations, bikshulai rachmim, daven on my behalf. Amr, and they too say, Acha Anam of Akshim Alacha, instead of us davening on your behalf, Nvakash Alatzmenu, Shenemav and Namoka called Svar Shemaim. The Yaris Dvash explains that what's the purpose of him turning around to all these different places, and it's always the same situation that they say, we can't help you. So he says, all the different things that are mentioned in this Gemara are different things that they worshipped as Avodah Zarah. And what he was saying to them is that people worship you as Avodah Zarah, and that's what brought this into the world, this type of behavior. Amar, at that point, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya recognized, the Ein Adavat Tal Elibi, it's only up to me. V'nich Rosh ben Barakov, he put his head between his knees, V'gav b'chia, and he cried, until he passed away. It says the Gemara, at Yotze Baskov Omra, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya mezom l'chaya olam haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya is going to have olam haba. Ask the Gemara, but we're learning that when somebody does tshuva from apikarsis, that's when he dies. But ha'ahacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya's issue was that his averus were about immorality, umayis, and he died. Says the Gemara, Hasam Nami, and our Gemara, Kivin the Avod Batuva, since he was so connected to this Avera, Kaminas Damian. The way to understand it is, as we said earlier in our shir, somebody who becomes connected to an Avera that's difficult to do tshuva from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him away from this world. And he was doing Avera so much that there was no other option but to take him away. Bachar Rebbe V'Amar. So when this happened, Rebbe cried and said, Yesh kainam alama kamashanim, that people that have to live a lifetime to have olam haba, Yesh kainam alama b'shachas, v'amar Rebbe Elazar, loydayin l'bal tshuva, sh'mekabal ha'yisam, not only are bal tshuva accepted, as we see, and the olam ha'emes, but after they do tshuva, do we see that the kainam say, Rebbe, they get this title of honor of Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya. What's pshat, says the Ben Ishchai, that he put his head between his knees? So he explains that that's the way a baby is in its mother's womb. And what happened here was that what he was saying was, I'm back to where I started. That's the type of tshuva that I did. The Mefarshim all discuss why the Rebbe cried. So one pshat that I saw is that Rebbe cried because this is not the way we're really supposed to achieve Olam Haba. The way we're supposed to achieve Olam Haba is step by step by step until we get to Olam Haba. Getting Olam Haba in 1 second is not the Olam Haba that is so great. Another pshat that I saw from the Kotzker. The Kotzker said that, yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya got Olam Haba, but what kind of Olam Haba can it be? What kind of Olam Haba could it be if it's an Olam Haba that took only 1 hour to earn? Another pshat that I saw is that Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya did tshuva. And indeed, as we just said, the tshuva that he did is a tshuva that got him olam haba, but he didn't necessarily have the ability to have influence on his children, and that's why he cried. He was crying. Yes, you were able to do tshuva, but what about the tshuva? What about your family that you didn't have the ability to train them to be what they're supposed to be? Another pshat that I saw is that if we think about Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, Dam Shnover explains that Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya teaches us that a person is never supposed to give up. And that lesson, that so many times we give up and we're not supposed to give up, is what he cried over. The Pasha Pshat is, he was crying that Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya had to die in order to do tshuva. Another pshat, he was crying because he saw how powerful tshuva is. And that the power of tshuva is that a person in one moment, could change the whole world. Like the Bet Baal Shem says, the lesson of Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya is that we could always do tshuva, and that we have no right ever to give up. And why was he called Rebbe? He taught us these important lessons, and because he taught us these important lessons, it was Rebbe. But Rabbi Aaron Cutler has a different approach to this Gemara, a very, very powerful approach to this Gemara. He says that what this Gemara teaches us is the power of a moment, that Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya spent his life not living the life that he was supposed to live. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya still, in the last hour of his life, did tshuva. So everybody there, including Rebbe, saw what's going on here. And from this story, they learned the lesson of the power of an hour, the power of a moment. And everybody started to think to themselves, do we ever waste a moment in our life? Who didn't waste moments in their lives? And if we see from here what you could accomplish in a moment, they were very sad that they lost out. We all lose moments that can never come back. Gemara says the Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya went straight into Olam Haba. But the question here is that we know that the halacha is very strict about somebody who, Rachman al-Slan, commits suicide. And the question is, why is it not considered here as if Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya committed suicide? And in fact, there's a tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov about somebody who did many serious averis, and he killed himself out of despair from doing all those averis. And the question is, when we just said that Rachman Slan, somebody commits suicide, the halacha is very strict about what kind of funeral we get, etc., is that person going, how do we do the levaya of that person? And maybe our Gemara is a raya, because we see what happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya, even though it seems that he did tshuva. So the Shvus Yaakov says that our Gemara is not a raya, because nowhere in our Gemara does it say that Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya committed suicide. It could mean that he suffered intense pain. And that intense pain caused him to expire, but not that he actually committed suicide. So maybe the halakas of somebody committing suicide would apply. The Birka Yosef, however, says, of course, it's the wrong thing to do. We have to strongly emphasize that. But if somebody's in such situation, he's not treated in the halakha like somebody who commits suicide. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina and Rav Yosef have a cause of baruch. Rav Chanina and Rav Yosef were traveling, Matalahu Trani Shvili, and they came to two roads. Chat Patsy Pesach Avodas Kachavim. One road was a road where there was an Avodah Zarah. The Chat Patsy Pesach Avodas Zaynus. So one road was a road where there was Zaynus. Amalei Chad L'Chavri. So one said to the other, Nezla Pesach Avodas Kachavim. Let's walk on the road of Avodah Zarah. The Nachas Yatzrei, as the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin of Samach Dalet taught us, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila caused that the Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah was diminished. Amalei Edach, and the other one said that Nezel Apisch the Bezoinus, let's walk on the road with the Bezoinus, the Nichvel Yetzrei, and we'll be able to overcome our over Yetzirah and the Kabbal Agra. So, of course, the Yaakov asked, we just started our shiur tonight, how a person has to stay away as much as possible from that type of, from the place of a Zaynan. Here, they're walking, and he gives two terutzim. One terutz he gives that here, when you have a choice, of course you should never walk there. But here, there was no choice. They had to walk on one of these roads. And therefore, it was different. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara was speaking about when you're walking by yourself. Here, we're speaking about with a, we're working two people together. And since they were walking two people together, it's different. A third pshat I saw is that they are, they were learning Torah. And when somebody is learning Torah, then it's a whole different situation. The schus of Torah protects him. So they said, let's walk there. Then the Kabbal Agron will get schar. So the Chidah asks, that we know it says in Pirkei Avos, so how could they have done this with the mechabel of the on the behalf of just to get reward? So he says the most interesting teretz. He says the isser of doing something with the goal of getting a benefit is only in a situation with something that you have to do. So a mitzvah that we're obligated to do, the halacha is that we should we should do it because we're obligated to do it. Here they weren't obligated to do it. So since they weren't obligated to walk, since they're not obligated to overcome the Yetzer Hara. In fact, as we just explained, it may be better to do whatever you can to avoid that Yetzer Hara. That's why their attitude was, maybe they shouldn't then they're allowed to do fischar. Says the Gemara Kimata Hasam, when they came to the road of the Zaynus, Chazinu, the Zaynus, Isknu Mikamayu. They, as soon as they walked down the road, the Zaynus hid themselves from them. Amalei, so the one that wanted a rock on the road of the Avodah Zarah asked the one that wanted to and ultimately walked on the road of Zionists, who told you that that's the proper approach? Nolacha, Amalei, Mezima Tishmalacha, Tavuna Tenetzrecha. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanan L'Rovin, explaining this answer. My Mezima, what is the definition of Mezima? Ilema, that the Ilema L'Tayr D'Ksibay, Zima U'metagman Atzaz Chatam, the Pasuk says, Zimahi. And the Pasuk explains that Zima means to have bad thoughts, the Ksiv, and the Pasuk calls that Hifl Eitz Higla Toshia. So the Pasuk says that Torah, by learning Torah, you don't have to worry about Zima. Yalcha Zima Mibayle. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Pasuk means to say, that the Pasuk is trying to teach us that by learning Torah, you don't have to worry. So then the Pasuk should have said the word Zima, not Mizima. Says Mahakama, Midva Zima, Tishma Alecha Torah, Tinatrena, the Pasuk says from Dvar Zima, the Mizima means from any type of situation of Znus, the Torah has the power to protect us. Says the Matana Bank, Shnitzis Rebelozma and Pater, Rechaninim and Pajin, Omele Rebelozma and Pater, Rechaninim and Traja, Ashracha Shinat Fasta, Adover Echad, you were put into prison, you're being prosecuted because you learned Torah. Oily shenefasti al chamisha dvarim. The Gemara will explain what they are. Amalei b'chanina shrecha nishtfast al chamisha dvarim. You're being prosecuted for five averis vata nitzel, but ultimately you're going to be safe from them. Oily, when we speak about me, I was nitfasti al dover echad. I only am being prosecuted for one sin, for that one sin, any nitzel. And he explained, why? Because you not just learned Torah, you also did chesed. And that's why you will be spared. However, I only spent my life learning Torah, and that's why I won't be merit to be saved. And the Gemara explains, somebody only does Torah Daim Kamisha and Loy Lakash. Name of Yom Rab Yisrael, Loy Elakai Emes. My Elakai Emes, Shakolas Oisik B'Torah B'Vad, is somebody just does Taira, then the halacha is Daima Kamisha and Lilka doesn't have the is considered like somebody who doesn't have a god. He won't have the schusim that are needed in such a difficult situation, because explains the Sefer Be'er Shmuel, somebody who only learns Torah but doesn't teach other people Torah, so he's not emulating the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's entire existence is to worry about us and worry about others, and our obligation is to emulate the way of Hashem. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the whole point of Torah is that it should be a Torah's chesed. A Torah's chesed means a Torah that is not just there a manas lelamid, but it's also there a manas lelamid. That you learn Torah, the chesed that he's supposed to do is to do chesed that thinks about other people and teaches other people Torah. And if you don't do that type of Torah, then the Torah is not the kind of Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That Begemilas Chasadim Le'asak, he didn't do chesed. Ask the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Le'yotin Adam Ma'isov Anakah Shetzadokah, we should not rely on anyone being a Gabbai Tzedakah, Elam Kain, Mamun Alav Talmud Chacham, unless the Gabbai Tzedakah is somebody of the stature of Hananya ben Trajan. Says the Gemara, so we see that he was a great Gabbai Tzedakah. Says the Gemara, Minahu to have a Mehemen, he was very trustworthy. He didn't do tzedakah as he should have done. Ask the Gemara, how can we say so? V'tanya Amarloi, V'chanina Mentradin said to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisnim, Marshal Purim Neschafli, B'marshal tzedakah, money that I had that was designated for Purim got mixed up with regular tzedakah money, V'chalachtim laniyim. And then many pshatim in the Rishonim, what happened here. Rashi says, that V'chanina was a Gabbai tzedakah. He collected from the community money to give out for poor people for Sudas Purim. And that money is not supposed to be used for any other purpose. And now he got mixed up and he gave the Aniyim that money for other purposes than Purim Suda. And he took out money from his own pocket to give that. Rashi gives another pshat that he confused his own money with the money of tzedakah money, and because he didn't know what's what, he treated all the money as if it was tzedakah money. So we see his great act of being a Gabbai tzedakah. Says the Maran Me'evet Ovid, he did great acts. However, k'deboile, to the degree that he should have done loy avad. Ashul avrozim aparta v'amru my tamatanis. The question is, why did you teach Torah? And the Gemara says, "My tama ganafta." Why did you steal? Amli isayfle isafra v'isafre isafra. You can't be both. You can't be a tamat chacham and a gamim. And he said further, they can't be with one person. And if they're accusing me, then they must be saying something incorrect. Says the Gemara, "My tama karlacha Rebbe." We're saying that, why did he call you Rebbe if you didn't teach other people Torah? Says the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar said to them, Rabban shel tarsayinu. The Gemara says that I was the Rebbe of the people who learn, who are weavers. Asle trei kibur. So they wanted to see if he really knows how to weave. Amla had the shas v'hayda arva. They wanted to ask him, which is used for the vertical and which is used for the horizontal. Says the Gemara, Esrach Shnisa, at that moment the nace happened, as is a burta, a female bee came, a sivalei de shasya, and it sat down on the horizontal threads, thus is a burra, and a male bee, the Yosva the Arba, was on the vertical scales. Amla had the shasi v'hai da arva. This is the this is the vertical and this is the horizontal. Then they asked him, why didn't you participate in the Avodah Zarah with all of us? Amalei Sir Belozer says, Zokna Yisi, I'm an old man. There's such a large crowd here, I was concerned that I would be trampled. And they said to him that there were so many people attended, including old people, and nobody was trampled, says the Gemara. So your excuse is not a good excuse. But says the Gemara, but to protect him in a Shemaim that day, one elderly person was trampled there, so his excuse was a good excuse. Then they asked him, "Amai tamak shafta av tchlecheres? Why did you free your servant?" They had a decree that you're not allowed to free a servant, and the reason is that because whenever Kanani is freed, he's treated like a full-fledged Jew, and they didn't want anybody to act more. Anyone to act like a full-fledged Jew. Come chadlas to the bay. So one of them got up to say testimony that he did free a slave. Elio came, and he looked like he was one of the distinguished people of the government. Amalei, and he said to him, Mizrachash nisa bekula, he said, just like Rabbi Elazar experienced all these nisim and was saved, Asrachash nisa, he's going, but now Mizrachash nisa, for who gaver b'shusu who the kachve, and you who are going to say testimony against him, everybody will just see that you're not a good person. He didn't care, and he was going to say testimony against Rabbi Elazar. Havaksiva garta, there was a letter that Havaksiva mechshiv the melchus l'shtudi bekesei. That day there was a letter that was sent, that they wanted to send to the emperor. V'shirdru al yadid ahugavra, and that person was the one to deliver it. Os Elio, and Elio came, and paske abame parsei, so he made him go 400 parsa away from here, and therefore Ozov Elioso, he went and wasn't able to come to say testimony against Rabbi Elazar ben Parta. And even though there were so many accusations as we started this piece of Gemara against Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, but he was safe from all the accusations and came out safe.